Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Window Seat, broadcasted on Full Service Radio, live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. We were provided this opportunity by the Adams Morgan Youth Leadership Academy, a youth platform for children and talent and agency. Chris, Phil hit me with the thing for Window Seat. I mean, for Amila.
You got it right.
Okay. I always screw up that part. But yeah, we're broadcasting from Full Service Radio, Amila. Today we're interviewing an amazing guest. I think he falls in line with a lot of the guests we've had in the past. Rashid Hughes, who was a mindfulness coach. He worked with local kids and at-risk, underprivileged youth that may not be introduced to the opportunity to, learn tools to be mindful and present and, you know, not be distracted by the thoughts in their head and things that they may believe. So, you know, yoga and centering themselves and shit like that. Stop smiling, Chris.
We also had Mr. Scott Cecil from MCBA, the Minority Cannabis Business Association. And he talked about the world of drugs and what is happening in the United States and kind of how you can capitalize on some of those things. I think it's a excellent place to be. I don't know if the universe has been reminding me that lately, because I've had a couple of people call me and mention growing weed as of late. So that's a good interview to check out if you're curious about that.
We also had Faith. She was an Olympic swimmer. Right, we're gonna. I don't know if she's actually. Well, the Olympics haven't started yet, but she
didn't check back up.
Right now, I haven't. I see her on social media. I see her on the gram sometimes, and she's still out there swimming. But she was someone who left a difficult situation in her home country, and she came to America, and she had a history in swimming, and she really wasn't sure what she was gonna do when she got here. But her faith led her from New York to D.C., and she had a goal to become an Olympic swimmer, and she just talked about how different things fell into place that led her towards as continuing her on her path to being an Olympic swimmer.
Yeah, it was the conversation was about the courage to me.
Yeah.
It takes to pursue your dreams.
Yeah. And not being distracted or not because you don't see the path in front of you, not to believe it's not
gonna
going. Just keep going.
And the last show I wanna inform our listeners about was a show you weren't here for. It was Mr. AJ Lewis. He's a barber in the area, and I thought that it was really interesting from my perspective just hearing his experiences. He was a military vet who was gay. He was also married. He talked about coming out to his children. He talked about the experiences of having a father who was a pastor and just having to go and sit in church. And one thing that will probably always stick with me from that interview was him saying that he, you know, essentially was sent to hell every Sunday, just having to sit in the first row of a pew, hear your father talk about how you're damned for being gay.
Did his father know he was gay?
No, his father did not know he was gay.
I was gonna say, that's terrible.
But really interesting shows if you want to catch up with us and see some things we've talked about. Today, we're lucky to have two guests here who had the courage to follow their dreams. I know that takes a lot nowadays. If you're a creative person, we have Jack in the studio with us today.
What's up, Jack?
Yeah, back.
Yeah, and so when Jack is out, we also are, you know, Mr. Jamal Gray helps us out. He's another creative, and talking with him, I know last time we were here, we were talking about, not on air, but off air, we were kind of talking about, you know, how do you balance being a creative and you have, you know, 10 different things you want to create and you earn your living off of creating. And, you know, how do you split up that time to actually be productive, not just activity, but to actually achieve something,
right,
and then making money and then balancing family. So it gives, I don't know, gave me a little bit insight about what these two gentlemen might experience.
Yeah, I met Owen not too long ago, and we started talking about him being a photographer. And I asked him how he got into photography, and he was telling me how he started off as an accountant. And then, I don't know, he had a passion for photography, and his faith led him to step out and follow his passion. And I know that you and I always talk about a path to success and how do we become successful. And we have had a lot of guests on that talk about steps to being successful and what they did. And it's usually not the conventional path, right? And to hear Owen talk about not really having clientele, you know, not really having a big name, not knowing exactly how it would work, but him believing in himself and believing that he would be a success, decided to do it. So I thought it would be great to have him on and hear him talk about his story. And yeah, through Owen, I met Dio. And Dio is just an artist, right, from what I've learned. Just an artist. And so, you know, him and Owen work together, and they're both here to talk about their stories and let us know more about what they do. Welcome, fellas.
So give me 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Really quickly, because it's been a long winter break, I guess, sort of, for Thanksgiving. And we haven't caught up in a little bit.
Yeah, Jack.
No, not just Jack, because I heard you was singing at the Thanksgiving table, which is kind of strange.
Really?
For somebody
damn, see, I was...
like, what the fuck was going on?
Man, so this is new to me. Damn, we gonna talk about this, Chris? All right, so this is new to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did a...
You and your family were singing together.
Yeah, it was sheet music, basically.
Who passed out the music?
Shorty passed out the music.
Okay.
And she wanted us all to sing. So, yeah, man, I didn't sing. I was watching the game. All right, the first song I didn't sing.
That's a good
one. It was like an Anita Baker song. I don't remember what the song was, but I didn't sing. But, you know, when you're in the environment and everybody's singing, you start feeling it, right? So, with the second song, I mean, because it was fun. It was a lot. I thought it was corny. When she told me what was going to happen, I'm like, I'm not doing this shit. I'm not singing. But by the second song, it was a, what song was that? It was a Bob Marley song. So thankfully, I knew it. I didn't have to be like reading the music. So I was just, I mean, yeah, man, I sang for Thanksgiving. I don't call that shit Thanksgiving. Excuse me. It was Native American Appreciation Day.
That was deep.
Yes.
So for Thanksgiving, I was in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
A family member of mine just got caught with a bag of coke, and that's a felon.
You're always talking about drugs, Chris.
I grew up in Miami. There's a lot of drugs in Miami. I don't know what to tell you. So
it's not a drug show.
Yeah, this is not a drug show. But he did get caught with a bag of coke, and I called him today to see how things turned out, because it is a felony in Miami, and it was a very joyous moment. I heard it in his voice.
Well, thankfully, he's
because
home.
He got off. Yeah, he got off. Okay. But you know what's crazy about him? He grew up with he was like, you know, we all grew up in a black neighborhood, and then he was the one that grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, and that served him so well in Southern Florida, because all he does is call his Jewish friends and like, yo, do you know this judge? And they make a call, so... I had a good holiday.
That's how life blesses you.
Yeah, it does bless you. So let's get back to these guys.
Yes, I guess the most important part of the show.
Yeah.
Owen and Dio, what's up, fellas?
I wanted to interject on your conversation, man, but I wanted to let y'all have your moment.
No, please interject.
No, go ahead.
Y'all just had a moment right there.
We interrupt each other all the time.
Oh, okay.
Introduce yourself so everybody knows.
Yeah, no problem. My name is Dio Kosoko, aka The Art Hype, and it's a pleasure to be here with Amari and Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pleasure to be here with my brother Owen, and you know, it's just good to see brothers doing some things, man. You know, we met just this past weekend, but I feel like I've known you my whole life.
Okay.
Sarcasm.
And I'm Owen Hart, also known as
real
Owen
name
Hart.
Owen Hart. Real name Owen Hart.
Don't worry, man. I wasn't named after the wrestler, man. It's more history behind it, but it's all good. We're not gonna get into it. I was hoping to hear a little bit of the song that you were singing, man.
Not let's do it.
No. What's up?
Man, we got four mics here.
No. This is not a karaoke show. It's not happening. Owen, tell us how you got into photography.
Man, it's been a journey. I've been doing this for about 3 or 4 years now, but I think it's just from wanting to capture what was around me. I think growing up, I always used to go through my family's photo albums and just seeing the memories that were captured and everything. It was just like, okay, I want to do this too. So picked up I like history. I like the history behind a lot of stuff. So I picked up a film camera because I was like, I want to know the basics before I pick up something where I can just point and shoot. So I wanted to struggle first and then figure it out. And then once I was able to figure that out, then I picked up a digital camera, just started shooting and went for it.
Yeah, but you weren't, when you were doing this learning about photography, you weren't working as a photographer or in school, right? What were you?
Nah, absolutely not, man. I went to school for financial economics and accounting. So probably the least creative thing ever.
It's dope.
Excel spreadsheets every single day.
I'm there every day.
Man, yeah. That Jones. I look at Excel spreadsheets now, I'm like, bro, I need to hire somebody to do this for me because this ain't it.
But you know, it's interesting, Owen. They say that the skill sets that you have before you become a professional in the space that you want to be in really help you. So all that accounting stuff you did lets you be able to manage, you know, your money and things in that realm. So yeah, it's all the things that we gather in life help us really, you know, achieve.
Absolutely. Because I was doing journal entries for the business this week, trying to set up the accounting all myself before I let somebody else take it over. But just doing all that stuff this week, I was like, dang, my professor would be very proud of me right now.
Well, what made you stop doing accounting and get into photography full time?
So I had a conversation with Dio.
Oh, wow.
At Union Market. It was so Dio, I actually met Dio at one of my friend's weddings. He was the photographer for the wedding. I also met his partner, Jeremy the Josh Shot, there as well. You know what I'm saying? Gotta get a shout out for the Instagram.
Nah, that was
So I met them at the wedding, exchanged business cards, and then hit up Dio to meet at Union Market. And prior to that meeting, I think I started taking off work to shoot and make money. I started skipping lunch breaks and skipping eating so I could go make money to shoot. And then I think it was just a lot of nonsense at work. just a lot of nonsense.
Nonsense. That's a good word.
It was just, I was dealing with a lot of stuff at work, and I was like, man, I'm not happy here. And I was like, I'm going to take a chance and see what happens. And I think the conversation with Dio was very pivotal in that, because he talked about something that a lot of people don't talk about is he talked about his failure in the first time that he went full time. And he said there was a lot of stuff going on around him, but he still took the chance. And then eventually he went back to work a corporate job before he ended up where he is now, working full time as a photographer again. And so just talking about his experience where it was like it wasn't perfect, but he did it. He took the chance and it didn't work out the first time. But you know what I'm saying? You get back up, you do it again, and you just keep moving forward.
Was it hard, though? Because I remember you saying that you didn't really know how you were going to make money or if you were going to make enough money to sustain yourself. But you took the chance and did it anyway.
Yeah. It's difficult in the fact of, I think it was difficult explaining to my parents more than anything, because I think parents, especially the generation that came before us, they want us to have stability.
Right.
It was for them, it was work at a job for 20 years.
Right.
You get your retirement, you get your house, you put your kids through college, right, and everything, you know what's coming next.
That's a good life.
Yeah. For some.
Right.
For me, I like the unknown. Because it opens up the possibilities for anything to happen. And so for me, it was difficult in explaining it to them, because my mom was like, maybe you should just get a part-time job so you can have health insurance. I was like, I'm saying it's probably cheaper to pay the penalty to not have health insurance than it is to actually pay for health insurance. I would just eat healthy and be okay. And then just different. It was difficult also because, I mean, there is a fear of the unknown as well. Taking a step and hoping that you have something to step on is nerve-wracking. I think also just it's difficult to plan for the future when you don't know what's coming next either. So everybody's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this in a couple months, I'm gonna do this in a couple months. I'm like, we'll see what happens, bro. I don't got nothing for real.
I've heard Marlon, I think it was one of the Wayans brothers, talk about kind of what you're talking about. And he was explaining to his parents that he wanted to take on acting and directing. And his parents were okay with it, if I remember correctly, but they were suggesting that he have something to fall back on just in case it didn't work out. And his thought process was, you know, if I got this soft, comfy mattress to fail on, I won't succeed. But if I look back and I know this ground is hard and cold, it's going to be the gas that fuel me, that keeps me going. So I think that's pretty interesting. I also, I had this weird experience with this guy yesterday. I was getting some carryout food, and for whatever reason, he kind of went off on a tangent. He was like, yo, you have to pay attention to how your body responds to the food. If you drink coffee with dairy and you got to go to the restroom immediately, or if you catch a headache or if you get tired, that's your body telling you that you're not consuming the right thing. And I think it's kind of interesting to hear you say that you were sneaking out for your lunch breaks and, you know, you found where you wanted to spend your time and you responded to it, as opposed to like quieting that shit. Cause that's like the adult thing to do, is to quiet that shit and say, hey, I know how to make this check for $1,500, whatever you get paid. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's secure. So, you know, that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, definitely.
Dio.
Yeah, you know, it's just really glad to be here, first of all. Shout out to Owen for putting me on with you, and it's definitely nice to meet you, Chris. Mm-hmm. I think this creative space is, we live in a generation now where you're able to accumulate your own wealth by your own work ethic.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, first of all, we curate our Instagrams, our social media. We curate our lives to look happy and all this fun stuff. Right. You don't show the blood. You don't show the sweat. You don't show the failure. You don't show your bank account.
Right.
You know, there's people flexing who are broke, you know.
So they look like they flex.
Right, right. But, you know, we live in a generation where you can literally create a persona. You can put in extra work while everyone's sleeping. I could be up at 2 a.m. with my little 2-month-old editing pictures. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So right.
The work you put in, you know, you can have a podcast. You don't know where that podcast is going to take you. So you're allowed now in this age to really build your own brand. And I got sense of that as, you know, I started shooting. First, quick backstory. You know, I started shooting in high school. I used to shoot with a disposable camera. We remember that. We're a little older. Disposable camera.
Which takes talent.
Yeah, my man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would get prints of two, you know what I mean, from CVS and give one to my man. It's like, yo, this you. I'm going to keep this one for the album. You know, that's what we did instead of texting each other pics. Mm-hmm. And that led to, you know, getting a Sony Cybershot, shooting in college, being at parties, taking selfies before you had a selfie. Just a whole bunch of stuff. Loving photography. My dad was a photographer. One day someone said, how much for a photo shoot? You know what I mean? And I'm like, dang, me? Like, what do you mean? Like, how much? So I gave them some base. I said, yo, just tip me, man, because I'm still new. I'm still starting. I'm not good yet. And this is shit that people say now. Like, I talk to artists. They come to me and they talk to me. And they're like, yeah, you know, I'm just starting out. Or I kind of do this photography thing. Nah, man, dead all that. You know what I mean?
Give yourself value.
My man, if you've picked up something and you're creating, and no matter what sense it is, there's somebody who may value that as $1 million, and there's someone that might say, yo, that's trash.
Right.
But you're in the spectrum, right? So you get to value your own worth. So that's what I did at that time, was like, yo, just tip me. And that started a ball rolling, from shooting in clubs, you know, for pennies, dealing with promoters, you know, who were like, yo, we didn't make enough tonight, we can't pay you. You know, wild shit. Like, I got crazy stories in my life based on all of this. Mm-hmm. But all the while, guess what it is? It's photography.
Yeah.
My first degree is in psychology. My second degree is, I have a master's in organizational leadership with an emphasis in management.
Okay.
I've worked in higher education for 14 years. Till, like Owen, I was at my desk editing pictures, bro. I was at my desk editing pictures for Essence magazine article, and I said, "What am I doing?
Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
It don't make sense."
Well, why didn't you go to college for photography?
First of all, okay, I'm a first generation Nigerian.
Okay,
all right. My mother is an ophthalmologist who holds an MBA, an MPH, and she has another master's and a PhD.
Earn the titles, bro.
My grandfather's an optometrist. My mom's sister's an optometrist. My sister is an ER doctor.
And so, this is the photographer.
My man.
That wasn't going to work.
Hey, man, Dario, what do you want to do? I'm taking these pics, man. Send me to SCAD, in Atlanta. Nah. So, you know, I was pre-med.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up getting the hell out of pre-med because I'm like, you know, it gets to a point as a man, right? You realize, mm-hmm. man, I am literally doing what you want to do. And I think happiness, you know, we talk about mental health now. It's a buzzword.
Right, right.
You know, mental health. I had met a friend. This is one of the pivotal moments in my life. I have a friend. He became a public speaker talking to high school students. He said that if you find happiness in something, it should be encompassed in every aspect of your life to make you happy. If you like to read, read a book every damn day. If you like to talk, make sure you pick up the phone and talk to somebody every day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you like to dance, you don't even need to know nobody. Get your ass to the club, late night dance, and get that out your system. If you like to take pictures, take pictures. So that talk was like, I'm like, it sounds simple, right? But it made so much sense. I mean, I'm walking around. We all have cameras now. I'm snapping with my phone sometimes. I'll see something, I'm like, damn, boom. It's just the eye, right? You just have it. So that was pivotal in you know, not going the doctor route,
right?
But you know, seeing that there's able to be value elsewhere. But as an entrepreneur, the grind is so much harder. And I think one thing that you know we do that's almost detrimental is showing too many of the highlights. It's hard, right? You don't want to see want people to see you fail. It's almost embarrassing. You know, you got all these people shining, and it's like, damn, you know, I got this shitty ass picture, or I submitted to a Vogue and I didn't get selected. You know, mm-hmm. Show my rejection letter on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to realize that, you know, there's failure and there's also winning. But my biggest thing is just put in the work. And this work in entrepreneurial life, if you're going for it, do it. But put your all into it and be all about it.
There's more than that, though, because I guess it depends on where you're at in life, because it is tough to put in the work. It's very hard to put in the work, but it's also difficult to be vulnerable and put your work out. It's difficult to create the conversation.
You're afraid of the criticism.
It's difficult to just release what you understand or what you do. I think I might have mentioned this on the show one or two shows ago, but I find it so amusing walking through a museum with a child. And watching how they do not validate this work that we worship, right? Because there's an artist on the wall, and this child's like, yo, that's some shit.
Right.
Like, you can, I mean, they're not saying that, but you can see they're unamused. But people walk in there because this person has been validated. So, what does it say about you and your work? Like, you can release it, you can validate it yourself. Mm. You don't need anyone else to sign off. Just
absolutely
put it out there.
Mm. Absolutely, man. I talked to one of my friends recently who just picked up a camera and he just started shooting. And I was like, he sends me pictures and he always like, man, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And I'll go into like technical stuff. But then at the end of the day, if you like what you're producing, if you love what you're producing, man, that's for everybody else.
Just keep going.
If you continually put out stuff that you like, that you appreciate, your craft will grow. You'll get better. You'll get better. You'll get better, because there'll come a point in time. For me, when I was taking pictures, I was like, I don't really like this no more. I got to step up because I want to see better out of myself. Not that people have seen my work and they're like, oh, you could do better. I'm like, nah, I want to see better for myself. And if I get to a point where I don't want to see better for myself, then I'm like, all right, I got to rethink what I'm doing, because I should always want to see progress in what I'm doing. I should always want to see myself take the next step. I should always want to see myself go a little bit further than where I started. Like, if I look back 2 years and I'm like, damn, these pictures look exactly the same. I haven't grown at all. I'm like, oh shit, I'm doing something a little bit off. So,
or is it that's your style?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, like, I love that point. I think even when we talked that one day, you were showing me some work and I was like, oh yeah, bro, you're ready. I mean, you know what I mean? I think as somebody who's been in the field, I'd be like, oh yeah, you're ready. You can make money off of your photography, like real money. You know what I mean? As opposed to you saying what you charge and somebody being like, all right, we'll get back to you. And that's
right.
But isn't there a balance though, right? Because you definitely need, especially when you're first starting, you need other people's opinion, people that have been that's been doing it to advise you and direct you. But then there has to be a point where you say, no, this is dope, or no, this is me. You might have your style, I have my style. So how do you know when you should follow what you believe is true and take some advice from other people and apply that to?
That's a really dope question. I think it's a mixed bag. But I also think it starts with your personality, yourself, before, you know, as opposed to your art.
Right.
Like me, I'm a hype individual. I'm exciting. I'm fun. I'm entertaining. I can carry a conversation with anyone. That translates into my art. I'm not scared to stop somebody in the middle of New York. Yo, let me get your picture. I think you look great. We have a shoot right there, and the pictures is fire. I don't know who that person is, but that might lead to a shoot with W Magazine. You know what I mean? Right. So that's the person I am. So right. I think part of it is yourself. Are you confident in general? And, you know, as you can see your own, and but you might have the opposite. There's some people who, you know, we'll see him on the gram and be like, yo, this dude's work is fire. But you meet him in person, he's weird as hell. You know what I mean? He's just an artist.
Yeah.
But for me, I think it's having that balance of having confidence, knowing, yo, I know my shit is the shit.
Right.
I'm putting my shit out. Yo, it may get 50 likes, but it may get 1,000. Either way, somebody's going to love it.
Yeah.
And it's that one person who reaches out to you in DM and says, yo, man, keep doing what you're doing. You inspire me. That's everything. That means more than anything.
Let me ask you a question. This might seem a little weird, but you're behind the camera. There's a subject in front of the camera. When you interact with that subject, have you learned anything from the little signals you might give? So you might say, oh, you look beautiful.
Oh, my
God. Or you might say, oh, I don't like that. Is a subtle vibration change what's going on in front of the camera?
I think I always talk about this, Owen. I said, you know, whenever you see a picture, it's not just because the model was awesome or beautiful, right?
Right.
I say that a good picture comes from a good relationship between a shooter and the subject. And, you know, if the client, like, let's say today I did a headshots in Reston, mm-hmm. and this lady, the CEO of the company, was just like, everybody's telling me, yo, she hates pictures. She hates pictures. Like, yo, you know, they were with me the whole day with people I was shooting, and they said, with her, we're just going to let you guys hang out. And I'm with her in her office, and we're just talking like humans. And as we're talking, I'm shooting her. She doesn't even know the shoot's happening. I'm shooting her. She's comfortable. Her hair is laying down. We're talking about kids. And that's the orchestra. That's the conversation. That, you know, that's the deal right there. Because you will meet people. Yo, you're beautiful. I'd love to shoot with you. Who, me? I'm so awkward. I'm not a picture person. I'm not this. That's because their whole life, they've been judging themselves. Yeah. Like, they've come up with this identity of themselves. The girl today from who I went to high school with, my random lady. Yo, shoot me this way because I hate how my face looks straight on. What?
Man.
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
I noticed that walking down the street, though. Sometimes you can walk past someone who's gorgeous, and they walk almost like their beauty offends them. Like, almost like, I need to put my head. I don't know if it's because I'm 6'3 and black and people are afraid. or if it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I feel bad about this one little bump on my fucking beautiful forehead, so I'm going to walk with my head down. It's just weird.
Man, I was talking to, when I first met Omar, it was one of the things that I really like. I like the people who say, I'm not good at taking pictures. And I'd be like, I'm about to prove you wrong right now. Because there's something that people take away from that photo, more than just that experience with the photographer. When somebody says, man, I don't really like taking photos, and you take a photo and they see him like, damn, I look like that. Then they take that confidence from that one photo, right. And then they'll carry it with them the rest of the day.
Right.
And then they'll see that photo again. They'll be like, damn, I can look like this if I just put my head up. Put my shoulders back.
Rest of their life.
Put my chin out, man. Yep. Like, and it's like that confidence that you're able to give someone from one click of the finger, from one conversation. And like I was telling Omari, I love encouraging people just in that way. And not even, and photography is just a means to encourage people in a way, because it's visual representation of who they are. Like I had a shoot with some kids recently at a church event, and just seeing the kids react, at first they were like, I don't really like taking pictures. And they start loosening up and they start getting free. And they're like, man, I can really have fun with this. And I can really be myself in front of the camera. Right. And now when I interact with someone, I have the freedom to be myself. Mm-hmm. And I can be who God created me to be. And I don't have to shy away. Right. I don't have to curl up into a ball, mm-hmm. put my shoulders
it's
forward.
It's therapeutic for you and for the person.
And for them as well, yeah.
It's a moment.
And it definitely allows me to be myself as well. Going forward as well, like getting their confidence to interact with people on the street, because it's like
so humans are weird, man. Yeah. Like I don't know what kind of time we're living in, but you know, I walk down the street, I greet people. If I have a compliment for somebody, I never hold it to myself. Because I always say, well, what good does that do anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, snap. Damn, I love her hair. Damn, those boots are crazy. What good does that do for me? When I can take half a second and say, love your boots. We don't even got to keep talking.
Right.
But she'll be like, yo, good looks for the rest of the day.
All right, but do you do that for men and women too?
Hell yeah. Okay. I don't give a damn. Because I don't, like, you know what I mean? It yeah. doesn't. I think that's the thing too, right? As men, we're scared to compliment each other.
Right.
Yo, bro, you fresh.
Right.
Beard on point. Got the line all lined up. Yeah. Right. Dope ass shirt. Cool Nikes. You know what I mean? Like, right. we're scared to give each other compliments. Mm-hmm. But I do it all the time because in the end, we're all humans. There's not, you know, we're all here. Like, nobody's greater than me. We're all just here, part of this thing called life. And if I can encourage somebody and give just a little boost, you don't know what that compliment has done for that person's life.
Is it? It's weird nowadays, though, right?
Oh, we're yeah. weird. We're so weird.
No, man. I mean, just period. Just giving a compliment after the Me Too thing. Because I found myself giving someone a compliment today on the elevator.
Man.
And I almost did it.
What was like, the compliment? What was the compliment?
First off, the compliment was weird. I have to be honest. Because she had like a French hairstyle. I don't know. It was kind of like long and flowing. And she had a red shirt on. Mm. And I realized when I got off, the composition itself looked really good.
You're an artist.
Right. But I didn't want to say... I was trying to figure exactly what it was. I was like, I don't know if it's your hair, your face, your shirt.
Is that what you're
Something is working. Something is working. And I got off the elevator. She started laughing. But that's the compliment yeah, that nice. Hit me. I just
that's
couldn't.
Nice. It's real. That's yeah. real, man. That's real.
All right, we're broadcasted live on Full Service Radio from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington,
We're
D.C.
lucky enough to talk to some artists today.
Yeah, photographers, artists, Mr. Dio yeah. and Owen. So... You said, Dio, in the beginning that a lot of times people talk about the positive part of what they do, but they don't really get into the negative. Yeah. So I want to hear both of you guys tell us some of the things you've overcome, some of the negative things you've dealt with.
Let me go first because my stories are a little shallow. My story is shallow. Okay, they don't go as deep. I think, one of the most recent ones, I shot an event recently do I want to say the ethnicity? Keep it.
Or is this the Keep It Real show?
It's the Keep It Real. 100% real.
Bet. So she was Haitian.
Okay.
IT.
And so they're very similar to our African brothers and sisters that they're very demanding. So she booked me for, I think, 4 hours. They were supposed to be out of the space at 11, and they still screaming my name at 11:30 to keep shooting, but nobody sending me no extra money to my Cash App. So I was just, okay. And so I send over a contract, you know what I'm saying? Contracts keep you protected. And so I send the contract to her before the shoot. And I tell her, you should expect your pictures within 3 weeks. I get a text message 2 days later. Hey, can I get some pictures edited? So I could post on Facebook. I'm like, all right. And so I'm doing this shoot as like a favor for a friend. I'm still getting paid, but it's still like a favor for a friend. So I'm trying to make sure that not just my name is covered, but her name is covered as well. That, you know what I'm saying? That she'll still have good rapport with the person that is doing this project. And so I'm like, all right, let me send the pictures. So before every event, I'm always like, okay, what are some non-negotiable pictures that you would like to see? So I can make sure I capture them and then everything else is nice and dandy. So she hits me up. She's like, hey, I didn't see pictures of my sisters in the ones that you sent me. And I was like, okay. you never introduced me to your sisters.
Finesse.
You never introduced me to your sisters. You didn't say you wanted pictures with your sisters. So I'm just like, what do your sisters look like? So she sends me pictures that she took on her phone, and then I have to scroll through to figure out where her sisters are.
Wow.
And so I'm like, man, okay. But we at least I got paid.
You got paid.
I got paid, man. You know what I'm saying? But that one was, I'm like, man.
You missed out on the sisters.
Hey, many more L's to come, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have a lot of L's, a lot of failures, the ones that come out to me the most are situations. So imagine this, you know, we're in a field where you're literally capturing somebody's memories, somebody's life memories, moments that can't be recreated.
You're in dangerous waters too, because you do weddings.
Come on, bro. So the responsibilities in that space are ridiculously dramatic. So, you know, I was in, I had traveled to Oregon once to shoot a wedding. And all the while I was in Oregon, I took this long trip. I was editing weddings that I had shot, probably two or three weddings I had on this hard drive. You can already see where the story starts.
Oh my God.
It was two weddings on a hard drive. I was the wedding, you know, the hard drive got stolen. Some memories were able to be replaced because I had a backup system in place.
Cloud computing or no?
Yeah,
thank cloud. God.
But I also realized after that moment that you have to have a backup, and then a backup that backs up the two backups. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially when dealing in that space. So there was a lot of money paid. There was a lot of refunding money that was already spent, finding that money and getting it back. But then also, you know what kind, you know, you can't really mend those type of relationships. It becomes amicable. You say, okay, we're cool, but you know, it changed. Things change,
right?
But at the same time, you make promises like, yo, when your kid's born, I got you. But then you might get a joke like, yo, you're gonna lose those too. What do you think? You know, so that was the biggest. That's probably the biggest L I've ever taken. But it was definitely a learning experience, and you know, it just showed. You know, it's like, what would you pay for somebody who's capturing your lifetime memories? Generation after generation after generation is going to see that picture of grandpa when he was just killing it in DC living his best life.
Right.
So when people undervalue us as creatives and photographers, I just laugh, man. And it makes it easier for me to walk away because I'm like, yo, go get Joe Schmo who is going to lose your images.
Right.
Or rather than a professional who is going to take care of you, get you situated, and make sure that you know, you have these memories for a lifetime. Think Amen. About that next time before you pay your next photographer.
Amen.
A lot of times, I know me, when I think about the cost of photography, I just think this shit is expensive. But I don't think about it in the way you just presented it, right? Mm. So, you know, I remember when my daughter was born, and we were looking at a photographer to take infant pictures.
Right.
And thankfully, her mom is nice. She found a photographer who was just starting, and she found someone who was willing to do it for free because it would help build up her portfolio.
There's a lot of those out there.
Right. So that worked out. But, you know, for, you know, my son's graduation, you know, birthday parties, things like that, we always looking for photographers. And it's like, shit is expensive.
It's expensive, yeah. Man. You know, one good thing with photographers, right, once you build a relationship with one, he can shoot everything for you. And then, you know, we call them life memories or life moments.
Right.
So, you know, quick story. I shot this girl's wedding. Killed it. I shot her graduation from her PhD program, her and her husband. Shot her maternity pictures. Shot the one-year-old pictures when the baby was born.
Well, y'all are friends shot now. You family.
Dude, basically. This is the biggest moment I did. Shot her family reunion with all her siblings. She has seven siblings, and there's like 19 grandchildren. We fit them all in one space and shot them all at once. Wow. It's a picture that's going to have, that's going to be forever, right. One of those pictures. Yeah. She just had a second baby. We did the maternity shoot. It's wow. Those type of, it's the relationship building. And I think once you've bonded that, you know, you shouldn't have that many worries. So you know two right in front of you. So don't look any further.
Oh, me and Owen already connected. So I was harassing him before the show to try to schedule something. So
Owen got you covered.
Okay. And well, by the way, newborn baby shoots, that shit is hard, man. Man, I did that joint one time. The baby took a shit on my sister.
Seriously?
It wasn't me, so I was good. I was like, damn, my bad. That sucks. All right, wipe it up. Let's keep shooting.
Can I ask, you mentioned you're Nigerian.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The questions that come to mind with that, because I, you know, I have some African friends, East Africans, West African friends, and I do have some insight to how much societal pressure it is to be something.
Oh yeah.
With a title.
Right.
And I imagine there are people out there who kind of in the same situation that Owen was explaining earlier, like how do you talk to your parents?
Right.
What was your conversation like?
Right.
But you kind of had an out because he had already had the 2 degrees.
Yeah. See, that was, yeah, you're hip.
And right.
But at the time, my mom was on my ass to get my PhD. I'm like, Mom, I'm shooting for Complex. I'm good right now. Like,
What the fuck? What's Complex?
Yeah, I'm good on that.
Yeah.
Two things really changed my mom's perspective on the entrepreneurial, artistic aspects of making money was, you know, our parents aren't as difficult as being a parent now. I understand what parents Like, what are they on? You just want this kid to be okay, because you're not going to be here forever.
Right.
So when they look at you, it's like, wait, what are you doing? You dance at stadium? You know what I mean? So yeah. We got girls. Those parents are worried.
That's
right?
Not going to work.
Right.
That's not going to work.
So, you know, when I showed my mother a check I got once, and she said, oh, okay. I said, Mom, I got that in 2 hours. She said, oh. She came to D.C. I showed her the studio. She said, oh. So she's starting to understand that this is not a joke. You know, because to them, a cameraman back home are these, you know, cameramen are like these ragamuffin dudes who be at parties, will snap a picture of you, print it, and try to sell it to you at the same event. So they have this already set mindset of, oh gosh, you know, you're a photographer.
Right.
It's not, it doesn't even sound prestigious. Mm-hmm. So that's why some photographers don't call themselves photographers. They're like, yeah, you know, I'm a creative. You know, I'm an artist. You know, I dabble. I do visual, blah, blah, blah. Because the word photographer doesn't sound elitist, you know, when it is.
Right.
We got Gordon Parks, man. We got the Gordon Parks exhibit
up
right here.
Dope.
Please make. Oh, you went.
Yeah, it's
okay,
dope.
I need to go. So you're hip.
Yeah.
That's our photographer. He captured what black life was, you know, in those times. And that's a brother doing that. So it's, you know, you can never downplay photography, because this is a visual society we're in. And without those visuals, you don't know what the heck is going on.
Man.
And it's carrying Instagram, right? And other social media platforms. It's all about pictures.
Well, that's one thing too, right? We have Instagram, we have social media, but for how long? That's why I always tell people, print your stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about this. Printing your stuff, getting a website that you control, because you can have your stuff for Instagram. You don't own Instagram.
You're right.
Instagram can say, yo, we're done. We're out of the game. Your followers don't mean shit at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to manage your own brand and manage, you know, what you have control of.
Do either of you have any advice for any photographers starting out?
Yeah, I was going to ask this.
Look at you guys, man.
So my biggest advice is take your camera everywhere. Don't leave home without it. How you a photographer and you don't got your camera with you? I made that mistake so many times. I was like, damn, I wish I could shoot this right now. And I'm like,
worst feeling in the world.
I'm like, damn, all right, let me just take it on my phone. It's not going to be the same. It don't need, if it's nighttime and you want to take a picture with your iPhone, you go get all the pixels. It's going to have all the noise. You're going to be bad.
Yep.
So take your camera everywhere. Don't leave home without it. Because, man, it's always something to shoot. It's always something to see. It's always just something to capture. And then number two, look up.
Mm.
Look up.
That's interesting.
Like, we always look at eye level. We always look straight ahead. But, like, literally, look up. Mm. The sky is beautiful. Birds are beautiful. The tops of buildings are beautiful. Like, look up.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Damn, what do I say? No, I have some good ones. No. For me, it would be, you know, I'm big on the mentee-mentor relationship. I think that in all aspects of careers, you know, when you go to college, you got a career counselor, somebody you can look up to. You might have an older student, somebody you look up to. But I think in photography and in the creative space, you should either take on somebody who's trying to get to where you are, or you should, you know, someone should have you where they're trying to get to. So that type of relationship is powerful, because, you know, I didn't have a mentor in this photography game. I'm figuring this shit out by myself.
Yeah.
Because one thing about photographers think that we're all in competition. They think that, oh snap, I can't tell that person what edit I use, because he gonna take my edit and he gonna be nicer than me. It's right. Really weird. So, you know, because of that, me and my buddies, we've started communities where, you know, like Shooting with Shooters. That's the podcast I have. Shout out to Brian Summers, at Brian Summers, and at I Am James Anthony. Didn't even ask you guys to shout people out, but...
No,
but shout out to Shooting with Shooters, because that's a space where we want photographers to collect and just give knowledge. Give knowledge, give gigs to each other. Shit, I can't make to this gig. Yo, Owen, you trying to get some bread? What's your rate? Let me check with them. Boom, I can't make it. Come get this money. For what? That's what we should do. Yo, how'd you get that look? Cool. I'm gonna come by the studio. I'm gonna teach you. Come by the studio. Come check us out. Because the answers is free. We don't care. The answers are free. It's a million photographers out there. It's right. A million. Just be confident in your own craft, like you said. Know right. Have your own brand. Be confident in your own brand. Because, you know, that's what's really gonna matter in there. People are gonna hire you for you, not just your work. Yo, Dio's dope. Yo, Owen, I rock with him. His energy is tough. He's smooth. Yeah. Like, you know, when he's taking the pics, I didn't feel hassled. I didn't feel unnerved. I shot with Dio. He was a little bit too hype. I didn't want that. There's somebody for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
I worked in a photography studio for a while.
Name it.
Roy Cox in Baltimore.
Lit.
Yeah. Well, okay. I didn't get paid, so I guess I would intern. Back that up. But when you said that, I was thinking, oh, yeah, you always need somebody to help you with the lights. That's why you want an intern. But I did notice how much the energy matters. That's kind of what led me to that first question, because I lied to you, not everybody that came in that studio, Roy would take a shot. Oh, you look beautiful. Oh, you look gorgeous. Oh, I mean, man. Going through, but there was something that happened in that moment. That little bit of confidence mattered.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I picked up on that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give a shout out to Othello Benassi, man.
Shout out to O.
I actually here at the Line Hotel, man, we did the YouTube Black event. Shout he was shooting portraits guys. For the YouTube creators, man. Man, that's the best energy I've ever seen with any photographer, man. I think he went through about 50 people taking portraits, and he had the same energy for every single person.
That takes work.
And he brought those portraits, man, them some of the most fire portraits I've ever seen, man. That guy Othello, man, he's doing great work.
Yeah, shout out to Othello, man.
So what's next for you guys?
You go ahead, brother.
Yeah, feel free. So man, this might be the first time I'm announcing this this project. I mean, uh-oh. I've talked about it in personal groups and different arenas, but I'm actually about to start a project just showcasing what the African American community is doing. I think as an African American who doesn't know where his heritage is from, so I haven't done no 23andMe, no Ancestry.com, none of that. Mm-hmm. I'm black,
bliggity blackity black.
my ancestors were slaves, so I'm like, for us coming from with the African diaspora, a lot of us we didn't really have a culture to hold on to because it was ripped away from us, and so just trying to create a culture of togetherness and create a community within African Americans so that we can begin to connect. We can begin to grow as a people, and just doing that through photography. So meeting different people, telling their stories, and then sharing that with other people so that they can see that there's people who look like them, who are going through things that they're going through, that they can connect with, that they can reach out to, that they can get help from, that they can get support from, so that we can link up and go further than we've ever gone before. Man, I'm tired of being 11%. I'm tired of being the slowest growing ethnicity in America, man. We could do some amazing things, and we try to move forward faster.
What's it called?
So right now, been going through a lot of name changes, but I think we settled on Meet, Learn, Love. So meet someone who looks like you, learn their story, and begin to fall in love with people who look like you. And so, yeah.
Are you thinking Humans of New York, but
yeah.
Black?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was dope.
Yeah.
Dope. Oh, okay, pressure. That's really dope, Owen, and I think that speaks to I always talk about in photography. Yeah, do your gigs, get your money, get those checks,
right.
But also always have a personal project. Always have something that you're working on that makes you proud of what you do. I have a series that I'm working on called Moon Melanin. It speaks to obviously the melanin of our skins and how it illuminates in artificial moonlight.
Okay.
There's something with black people in nighttime, as opposed to, if I was a white man, I wanted to get darker, I'd have to tan in the sun.
Right.
We kind of bronze in the moon. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at us in the moonlight, our variations of skin tone are very, very distinct. And I plan to I've been showcasing that in this series. Owen was actually part of that series. My boy Jive Shot was actually part of this series as well. So if you guys, I would love to have you guys be part of this series as well. Come by the studio. Also,
just don't shoot me face.
No, don't worry. You got that one eye. That
right,
you got.
Right.
No. And one thing we got going on in the studio as well, which is what I'm really proud of, because as I've talked to Owen, there's not really a space for us in DC for shooters that just want to create and not feel like, yo, how much, come in here, as soon as y'all get done, get the hell out of here.
Right.
More of like a community. Yo, what's your project? This is how we operate. Shout out to my boy Hytham, World Traveling Q, who's my co-owner of the studio. What's your project? What are you working on? Cool. Well, let's work this out because of what you got going on. We might not even want money at that moment. We might want some new a new backdrop. And that's something you can use when you come in. So right. It's that community feel. We have an event coming up where we're bringing a lawyer who specializes in copyright law, you know, who's going to talk to individuals about, yo, if I do post to Instagram, who owns that photo?
Right.
You know, I saw that somewhere else. Where's my dollars? So we have somebody coming in who's going to speak to us about, you know, knowing your rights, knowing what, you know, what your rights are in the photography game. Right. Because like, you know, like we talked about, once you do go off on your own, it's a business. And some people aren't giving you the answers. So we'll have that event. I believe it's December 12th. December 12th at the Creative Space DC. So please check us out. And we'd love to have you guys there. Like I said, I want y'all for Moon Melanin.
I have one more question before our last question. Our last question is if you had anything to inspire the youth or inspire anybody in general. So think about that for a second. But I'm curious, when you started accepting money for a thing you were passionate about, did your passion shift at all? Because now it's theirs as much as it's yours. You get what I'm saying?
Of course.
If I hire you for headshots, I expect headshots not to be running through the park, even though you might see something beautiful in it.
Of course.
So did your love change?
So here's the deal. The love doesn't change, but the understanding of the business changes. You have to understand that, yo, you might have a bill due. Do I want to go shoot this one-year-old birthday party? Hell no, because I know what it's going to be. There's some things that are so repetitive that you literally, your mind is already locked on what the whole day is going to look like. Mm-hmm. So do you want to do that? No, but you want that bread and they know how much you cost and they're going to pay that. So it's the balance. That's why I always mention have your own personal project.
Okay.
Because that's the love. It can be the business and the love. Sometimes you can get both. Where you're doing a dope ass shoot for Hugo Boss and, you know, GQ like I did last weekend in New York. But then you can have an event where you're shooting somebody's puppy. You know what I mean? There's, you know, so that's that, you know, for Hugo Boss and GQ.
Have you ever shot somebody's puppy?
Oh, I've shot a dog before when the bag was right. Yeah. And that's the thing. They'll DM you, yo, you've not posted one picture of a dog or you shooting a dog or shooting an animal. They know you shoot this specific thing, but they'll DM you, yo, I got this cat. Like, because they just love you.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with, you know.
And they cat. Love. They love you and their cat.
And their cat. They need those shots.
So.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
just as has it affected your love for your craft, taking money for your craft?
That's a great question, man.
Man,
you hungry?
Yeah, basically.
I know.
Niggas gotta eat.
Owen's like, what's the gig, bro?
Niggas gotta eat, man.
Yeah, you gotta eat.
Every time me and Dio link up, I'll be like, man, here's this new food spot we going to, bro. Niggas gotta eat, bro. But I mean, I don't think so, because like you said earlier, man, people hire you for you. So even though they may, we want these five specific shots. If it's an event and I'm shooting for 4 hours and you only want five specific shots, I got about 795 more pictures I could take where I can have my creative freedom and get the angles that I want to get and still be feeling the love. And I mean, there are times where I do events for friends who may not have the money, because I'm like, man, I understand. And my goal at the end of the day is to see us all get to a higher level. So I'll do events for free.
And you might get five events out of that one event.
Basically. And I mean, the joy that I have when I shoot an event for free is different from the joy that I have from getting the bag. Because when I'm able to shoot for free, there's a little bit less pressure. If I mess up, you ain't pay me. You ain't pay me. So you can't really get too mad. But still, like, it's still being able to do that thing for somebody. And they'd be like, dang, bro, I wasn't expecting you to do this for free. Like, one of the last events I had, the host, her boyfriend was like, man, I heard you did this job for free. Why you do that? She's like, man, I like what they're doing.
First of all, they shouldn't be saying what you're doing.
I know, but yeah, it's okay.
Sorry, brother.
It's okay. It's all love. But it's just like, man, I really just love doing photography. And if it's going to help you get to the next step, I'm willing to help you out with that. Not everybody, though. So if you're listening and you think it's free, don't do that.
Don't think that.
All right. So really quickly, can we give out your Instagram for anybody that might want to follow you?
Yeah. I'm Dio at The Art Hype. You can check me out there. My website is theArtHype.com. podcast. Love to have you guys on the show at some point as well. Shooting with Shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's it.
And I am owen.m.hart. I don't think I have to spell that. It's H-A-R-T.
Yo, figure four leg lock, man. Owen Hart, man. It's Heartbreaker.
H-A-R-T, not H-E-A-R-T. So yeah.
Really quickly, because we're up on our time, this last question. Anything you have to inspire anyone? It doesn't necessarily have to be about photography, but...
Just, there are no limits. There are literally no limits. If you have an idea, do it. Nike style, just do it. Like, there's literally no limits right now. We are in the best time of history right now.
What Miss Frizzle say? Get messy, make mistakes, boy. Take chances. I don't know, man. Just take chances. Take that step. Yeah, like you said, there's no limits. So just take the step, take the chance, take the risk. And yeah, that's it. Well,
I appreciate you gentlemen for joining us. It was a pleasure to talk.
Thank you, guys.
Photography and creating and the courage it takes to do that. I don't know. that's all I really have to say about that. And this was...
It was a good show. I do want to add, though, that what stood out to me was how you guys talked about not being influenced by other people's opinion and following your inner voice. At least that's what I took from it. And it reminded me of a speech that I just came across, and it was by Roosevelt, right? And it was a long speech, but there was a portion of the speech that is called The Man in the Arena.
Yeah.
And he basically talks about being the person in the arena, whether you are successful or you fail. At least you're doing something.
Participate.
And yeah, there's so many people out there that aren't doing shit, but they have an opinion about what you're doing, and they offer all of these criticisms, and we allow those things to influence us and our thinking and how we go about what it is that we're doing when we're the people that are actually doing it.
Right.
And so it should be about the man in the arena. Be the man in the arena. Dare greatly. Follow your inner voice.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. We're here again next Thursday. This is Window Seat. Full Service Radio.